America Weekend.
Well, Carl, I think that was an interesting discussion with Yvette Arroyo, and I don't agree with her attack on the news media. Now, first of all, I have to full disclosure here. I mean, I've been a news guy all my life.
Yes.
I've arrived on the scene, and I know what happens or what doesn't happen.
Sure.
And how you go about doing it, what the ethics ought to be. Sometimes news organizations have them, and sometimes
they don't. That's true.
But to castigate the entire media, as I believe she did, then I would have to disagree with her. I mean, she has a right to her opinion, obviously.
I was trying to ascertain in our discussions with her what was she was disagreeing. We just discussed this in between breaks. What was she disagreeing about? What was her point? Her point, obviously, is that we as the media blew this out all out of proportion, and that we should not have focused on that as much as we did. I think that's the basis of her argument.
Well, I think that, yeah, perhaps.
I think it is.
I also felt there was a prejudice there against all media.
Yes.
At the time. I mean, I forget who was it who said it. Might have been Walter Lippmann, who said that the theory of a free press is that truth will emerge from free reporting, free discussion, not that it's presented perfectly and instantly in any one account.
Well, and let's use that phrase. Today it is instantly, unfortunately.
Yes, it is.
And the camera is there, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a news camera. It could be someone holding a cell phone.
Right.
Okay, what they call the selfie. Turn the camera
or
around.
Or the citizen journalist these
yes,
days.
Yes, and they're all over the place. Now, that is an instant moment. And frankly, yes, it was newsworthy because it did come out of the middle of nowhere. She stepped out of a crowd, saw her son, and the rest is now history.
But, you know, Carl, it's still any video, any camera lens that's pointing at something still is not seeing the total perspective of what's
correct.
On the side and what's going on behind.
And that
it's the flashlight beam in the darkness that I think people are objecting to.
And I'm hoping that we, as journalists, as newsmen, are able to sort it out. I always saw that as being our job. There is a picture, it's a plane crash, whatever it may be. It's in the middle. This situation took place in the middle of a riot. And our job is to explain it, to sort it out, and put it in perspective. Put it into perspective of the entire situation.
Particularly if people are willing to listen.
Yeah, well, that's
or watch.
Yes.
Or read.
And we covered the Baltimore riots ad nauseum, in my opinion. Okay.
Well,
and there are a number of networks who had nothing else but that on. And there were other stories around the world that were happening and in this country that were happening that required attention, in my opinion. As newsmen and women, they required our attention and they didn't get it. And that woman, that one day, and I watched one particular, doesn't matter what the network was, she was on from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Literally the entire afternoon. This is a major cable network, news operation. In that regard, I don't understand why, because there are other stories to be discussed. But she was on from 12 to 6.
Well, you know, I could defend that, and
I
could also agree with you.
I'm not taking any position. I'm just saying that's what actually happened.
Yep.
And there it is. Other networks did not cover it as much. They got off it.
Well,
I don't even know what that means.
You know,
at this point, the
key, though, is not to watch one individual source in order to have some kind of understanding
true.
Of what's going on.
And that's the other point, of course.
The basic thing, and to continue my point, is that you've got to read widely, watch widely, and listen widely.
Yes, you do.
And because only one example will not give you what is called a balanced understanding of the news situation.
And beyond, first of all, and someone, and I cannot remember who it was, one of the networks, the reporter, and the person never came back on the air, by the way, on the first day. It was a man. I cannot remember his name. I believe it was on CBS. It was a network feed. He noted the fact that these children here in the afternoon are out, and here after 10 o'clock at night, they are out. Where are the parents? Why are they not in school, you see? Is that not a systemic problem?
I mean, why aren't the kids not in school?
Exactly.
Were they not in school? And why aren't the parents out there getting their kids?
Exactly.
I would agree.
Okay.
But we come from a different era.
Yes, we do.
Where you listen to your parents, you listen to your neighbors, you listen to your teachers, and you didn't give them any guff because you were going to get in trouble any way you looked at it.
The reason why I gave my example in 1962, because that really happened, okay? But both ears, okay? Home we went, all right? This is a big conversation, Roland. We can continue on, but time is not on our side, as we say. And let us move on.
Okay.
We shall sally forth. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on our broadcast. This is Smith Sabatino on, as Kevin Wolf would say, America Weekend.
Yes, sir. You have 8 seconds.
Notice his hands go up in the air so quickly, giving me countdowns. It's 5 and 4. Oh, Kevin, we love you. We're back.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This southpaw is one of just 5 pitchers to pile up at least 400 saves. He's a 7-time All-Star and set an impressive strikeout record in his final season.
And there it is, Billy Wagner with a record-setting strikeout, 1,170 in his career.
So where is Billy Wagner now? Billy moved back to his home state of Virginia after retiring and is coaching at the private Miller School in Charlottesville. He became the school's varsity coach earlier this year and went up against his high school alma mater, Tazewell High, and his own high school coach, Lou Peary. Luckily for Billy, his team got the win.
You know, I've learned so much from Coach Peary through the years, and now he can watch how I'm coaching and give me pointers and tell me what I can do better.
Billy Wagner, from closer to coach. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. California's CHP transferred new motorcycle course training, saying the former program was more about selling bikes than learning. A sneaky way to scare away potential new bikers. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic and one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. The California Highway Patrol has handed over motorcycle training to a company called Total Control Training. The CHP has mandated more emphasis on preventing crashes by what the cops say is being honest about the inherent danger involved in motorcycling. Hey, new riders already know their fun involves a certain amount of danger, so what is the point? Frightening new riders in an attempt to place fewer of them on the open road isn't training, and it certainly isn't biker-friendly politics. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.